This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 381.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
All right, this is Quest for Truth, and I am your host, Keith. And welcome to another episode where we're not live in the studio, but Nathan Caldwell will make an appearance after a little bit. Hey, we have a special, one of our worldview topics. We'd like to do that once in a while. Sometimes I would rather like do a role play with these, but hey, it's hard to do that when we can't be live together. Because I like to take on the anti approach and make Nathan Caldwell squirm while he answers the questions. But anyway, either I do that or sometimes my son, the anti-Chris, as we sometimes call him, the wild moose, will pop on to play that role. But hey, there's no role-playing today, but we do have an important social topic that is a hot button for our political scene today. We try to dig through what it is and what it's not, and why that we're looking at what's called Christian nationalism. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it really Christian? Should Christians do it or not? What's the deal with that? I know there's a lot of hate bestowed upon it, and there's a lot of animosity on it. I mean, there's a lot of Christians who don't even know what it is. But we're going to talk about exactly what that is, and should Christians latch onto that label or not? But it needs to be defined before you know whether you should or shouldn't. So hey, we'll get right to that after we hear a few quick words from the good folks at the Christian Podcast Community. You can find all the shows at ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, and you'll hear some people who sound like this.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies?
The special effects, the interesting characters, the great stories.
There's a lot to enjoy that comes out of Hollywood. But sometimes it's best to approach secular media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, E. Franklin.
And Tim Martin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Hello everyone, Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truth Espresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truth Espresso? Well, at Truth Espresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truth Espresso has to offer by going to www.truthespresso.com. And by the way, Truth Espresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian Podcast Community. Check out other faith-building shows at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Main topic.
Christian nationalism. It's a thing that's been buzzing around the interwebs lately, and it's not a new term, but it seems to be gaining some traction and taking on a slightly different life of its own, and I thought I would look into it and see what it means. I have to say that I'm not really interested in the topic or what even what it means, but apparently it really gets under the skin of some certain left-leaning progressive types who think that it's the end of the world and the most horrible thing is evil and it's going to ruin our democracy. So I thought, well, maybe it's worth looking into. But, you know, on its own, the name you would think would define what it means, Christian. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, everyone should be one. Nationalism, well, what's wrong with, loving your nation, I guess. But I thought, well, I would dig into this a little bit. And I asked Nathan Caldwell to pitch in some ideas, and he'll be with us shortly. And I found some items listed on Wikipedia. Well, actually, there's only one article I could find listed there. And, hold on a second. Let's bring Nathan Caldwell in. Because, if I'm not mistaken, he might have found the same article. We'll see what his take is on this. I'll be back in a few minutes with some more thoughts on the issue.
Christian nationalism. Well, I mean, there are some thoughts I have about what it could mean, but I'm not 100% on that one.
I guess we can go to Google and Google it here, typing in Christian nationalism. It's a Christianity-affiliated religious nationalism. Christian nationalists primarily focus on internal politics, such as passing laws that reflect their view of Christianity and its role in political and social life. That would be from Wikipedia. Now, I'm all for passing laws that reflect our view when it comes to morality. When people say you can't legislate morality, that's really all you can legislate. I think that there should be laws to prevent us from doing certain things. I am not the type who says we should make this place a theocracy, because nobody's going to agree on what the Bible teaches, if you get lucky enough and blessed enough, something, I don't know, to get the Christian God. Because my goodness, how many gods are there even in this country people worship? It's crazy. And even if you get what seems to be the Christian God, which Jesus do you get? Because apparently there's more than just one, because people have so many wrong ideas about who Jesus is and what he stood for. So there's your preaching for the day, I guess. I'm all for legislating and making laws to further moral justice, you might say. Oh, he said justice. No, I said moral justice. Not social justice. Real justice. You see, I believe that a baby inside a mother's womb is still a baby, a human being that deserves the rights and protections of any human being. To me, that's justice. Injustice is when a mom... And do you even want to call them a mom? Goes to a place like Planned Parenthood to kill their child. I just don't get it. I mean, I'm here at a place that teaches special needs kids, you know, how to improve
on their development skills, be it speech or your movements. My child needs both speech and what they call occupational therapy. They work with motor skills, but they also work with speech with him. So these guys are great. I don't want to mention names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I'm sitting here looking at these kids who are precious. Oh, they're not perfect. They don't have everything together. But they are so precious and so valuable. They got one out here on a tricycle. I assume they're kind of helping him use his motor skills to steer and pedal the tricycle there. It's very cool. I want that kid protected. I want any kid that comes after him protected. And I realize that the subject was Christian nationalism, not abortion, but that's just one of the things that I think that I find nothing wrong with legislating morality, trying to make this country a better country. Look at where we're going. And I'll be honest, it's not a direction that I want to go. And the only thing you can do to fix that or change that, or at least try to, is to go through the proper channels. Sign those petitions. Call that congressman. Vote. Oh, goodness sake, vote. Make educated choices about who you choose to put in power. Now, this on Wikipedia says Christian nationalists primarily focus on internal politics. Should the internal politics be our primary focus? No, it should not. You say, what? No, it should not. Our primary focus should be the gospel. And I believe we should work on the one while not neglecting the other. The Great Commission and following that is the Christian's objective. But in order to try to save lives, I am totally okay with passing laws that protect the unborn or anyone else that truly needs protecting. Now, I'm going by the Bible. I'm going to do that. And they can scoff, they can laugh, they can ridicule, they can put me in jail, whatever. I'm going with the Bible. I'm going with what God's Word says. So, we're given a commission. We're given a mission. And we got to do that. But the Bible also talks about pure religion, that undefiled. I'm totally misquoting it, but it's basically helping the widows and orphans and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. You help the defenseless. You help those who truly need help.
We are told, I want to say it's in the Old Testament, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Do justice. Real justice. Right and wrong is a real, solid, true thing. Period. It just is. It just is. And there's a whole lot of places I thought about going. But I'm just not sure I want to go there. I am not for a state church. So in that sense, because it says here that Christian nationalists and seeking to, in countries with a state church, Christian nationalists and seeking to preserve the status of a Christian state uphold, basically keeping the state church there. Not sure that's the wisest of moves, because so many of the state churches in other countries... I'm not sure they're really Christian. You'll have to look that over yourself and check that out on your own. Again, I'm getting this stuff from Wikipedia. Christian nationalists are support the presence of Christian symbols and statuary in the public square, as well as state patronage for the display of religion, such as school prayer and the exhibition of nativity scenes during Christmastide or the Christian cross on Good Friday. I'd be perfectly fine with that. I totally support that. And the article continues, I would support what it is saying. In the sense, to the effect that I would support, if somebody wanted to do it, I think it's great. If a government decided not to do it, I guess that's okay too. Unless you're granting someone with the exact same situation, only from a different point of view, if you're granting them the right to do something and you won't grant a Christian the right to do something, then I have a problem. So I'm not saying we force anybody to portray our flags, our symbols, whatever. Now, I think there is a lot of Christian symbolism in the United States, and I hope it never leaves. But I also know that this world has the devil and this world have totally infiltrated this country to the point that I'm not sure how much longer Christians are going to be able to truly, truly serve Christ. It's just getting bad. Now, I say able to truly serve Christ without being put in prison or being persecuted is what I mean. We always are able to do it till the day we die. And then we'll do that in heaven. We'll worship Him and praise Him and serve Him there. So... that is just a small little bit on Christian nationalism. Would I consider myself a Christian nationalist? I don't think so. I would consider myself a Christian, period.
Do I say Pledge of Allegiance? Yes, I do. To the flag, to the Christian flag. Yes, I do. Or, y'all, to the Christian flag too, actually. But I meant to the American flag. Yes, I do. But I pledge allegiance to one nation under God. If they took that out, I would no longer pledge. You see? Why? Because the allegiance I am placing demands that God be placed first. We are under God. And I could go into a whole slew of things here, but I won't. I'll just leave it at that. And I will hand it back to you, Keith.
Definition there was straight from Wikipedia. And that basically summarizes it. It's a political movement above all that tries to bring Christianity in for its ethical and morality, because you know, there's that saying, like I think Nathan said it too, you can't legislate morality, which on one hand I would agree with, but really what is morality are the things you legislate. You have a law to define what is moral. That's what the Old Testament is all about, is defining a bunch of laws. And this is how we understand what God's morality is. But what I gathered from Wikipedia and some things maybe that Nathan decided to not bring out is that it lists by different countries. I think it's Canada, Russia, U.S., and Yugoslavia is the four that's there. Now, I don't want to talk about the Russian one because I don't think it really pertains exactly. Although in its own way, it does try to bring an Orthodox Christian ethic to its own flavor of communism. But it does appear differently depending on the country. In Canada, it's called a hate group, and it's related to the COVID-19 lockdowns. It involves mostly pastors who have been put in jail due to their beliefs and the anti-behavior with the government. I know at least one of those pastors have been featured within the last year a couple times, several times on the Christian podcast community by other podcasters interviewing him or his wife or both maybe. That's where it stems from there. It's a grassroots movement. It is a political movement. And it basically tries to get the government to understand that people have rights and they should be understood from a Bible perspective, from a godly perspective. Often countries will say it's the government that gives you your rights. And this is what's happening with Christian nationalism in Canada. And we see it too in recent. There was a trucker convoy that shut down their nation's capital and got some attention that way. I'm sure you probably heard about that. In the United States, it also relates to what is called Trumpism, or a movement called the Christian Right, or accommodationism. I don't understand what that is exactly, but the Christian Liberty Party is an organized political group that basically wants to return to Christian principles in our government, and that social issues are best understood through the lens of a Christian ethic. Oh, and specifically, it lists these six items here. One, the federal government should declare the United States a Christian nation. I would go for that, but I don't know if I fully agree with that. Two, the federal government should advocate Christian values. I think they should. Three, the federal government should not enforce the strict separation of church and state. I think there should be a recognized boundary, and that I don't believe the church should become a political party. But otherwise, how can you flavor the ethics if you don't in some way involve Christian input, whether it be, you know, have officially a separate church in a separate state, but have the ethics be more fluid. That's my take, how I would present that. But, yeah, it's up to you to interpret what that means. Next. Four, the federal government should allow religious symbols in public spaces. Well, yeah, they should. You know, crosses, a Jewish star, various symbols, the nativity scene. They should be, there should be nothing wrong with that. You should be able to express your faith publicly. Next, number five, the success of the United States is part of God's plan. I would like to think so. I think God did have a purpose for the United States to be here and to be as successful as it has been. But does that make the United States the new Jerusalem? No, not at all. The United States is not Judaism. But hey, I'm grateful that God has made the United States succeed. Last one, number six, the federal government should allow prayer in public school. Yes, they should. I believe they should. Even if you have a different prayer, well, how do you do that? You have maybe a Muslim and a Jew and a Christian and a Buddhist. Well, you can have a moment of silence and say, for the next 60 seconds, this is your moment. Okay, we're done. There's ways to do that. Or you can have people take turns and make the rounds. But offer time for that. You know, offer time before every hour you change to a different subject. Offer before you go on the playground for recess. There's ways you can squeeze that in, incorporate that. But yeah, if you're going to do a Christian nationalism, you need to be aware that if you're going to open up the door to that, to religious, if you're going to be vague and call it religious freedom, then is it really a Christian nationalism? And so aren't we really talking about Christian expression and suppress the rest? Well, hold that thought. We're going to get to more on that in a little bit. But first, before I move off of this Wikipedia site, they did mention Yugoslavia. In 1935, there was a group called Christian Nationalists who actually held fascist and socialist beliefs. There doesn't seem to be any Christian basis in this group. However, a similar related group sprang up in America in the 1940s during the wartime years, and it held to some very extreme beliefs regarding white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and was very anti-communist. And this was a real political group. At first, they were, I mean, you would call them terrorists. They tried to bomb some government buildings to try to get to keep America out of the war, isolationism and stuff like that. Because being the supremacists that they were, they didn't want to get involved. But this group did survive at least until the early 1950s, where they did have a political party and they did put candidates forth to run for office. And it was, I mean, there was actually an audio clip I listened to, I think it was part of an ABC News article. And they do you could tell it was definitely like old time radio stuff from the 50s. And he was very on his high horse, very anti-Jewish, anti anything but white, very KKK party line kind of a thing. And the thing is that I think it was that very same ABC article. The lady was full of all kinds of bitterness and vile because, of course, Christian nationalism is tearing our country apart. It's bad for our democracy. And she pointed toward this psycho dude who was anti-Semitic and like, well, it's been tried before, she says, and it didn't work. How do you think it's going to work now? It's like, well, that was a specific political party that had a charter and it had its own constitution and bylaws to, you know, form it up and give it mission and purpose. And the movement we have today isn't related to that. It's something, you know, it's you might think of it more aligned with the Tea Party that they had 10 or so years back when Obama was in office. And now that Tea Party movement, I could very well get behind it. At the time that they had it, there wasn't a lot of activity where I lived at, or I might have been more participant with it. But this is a defunct political party, and it's not necessarily, I mean, it could be the same. I mean, it could be a resurrection of that. If there's an actual declared political party called Christian Nationalism, which I don't think there is. I think right now it's just a movement. Now, there's, I mentioned the ABC article. It was very bitter and anti the Christian Nationalist movement. I don't have notes on that right now. I thought I took them down, but I must have lost them. But one thing, they were, of course, they connected it to Donald Trump. They connected it to the instance on January 6th, all that mess that nobody condones. But everyone seems to believe that Donald Trump and conservatives do condone. But listen to conservative outlets and nobody condones it. But they link it to that. They link it to being anti-gay, anti-abortion, anti all the left-wing progressive agenda. And it's like, well, heck, if that's what it is, I'm all for it. Then call me a Christian nationalist, because those things do need to be opposed. I was just listening to a podcast. Who was it from? It was the folks that do Turning Point USA. Who does that? Charlie Kirk is the guy who started that. And his name of the podcast was Christian Nationalism. So, oh, I'll listen to that. There'll be some good prep for this episode. Well, it didn't really define Christian Nationalism, but what he did do is he was giving about a 30-minute or so talk on his Turning Point USA ministry and legal groups and activist groups, and what they stood for, conservatism, and that they were trying to bring, you know, the Christian ethic back into government, that we need to conserve what our founding fathers put forth. He was essentially describing the mission of his group, but it wasn't specifically Christian nationalism. But if he wants to claim that his group is the defining poster child of Christian nationalism, well, maybe so. And if that's the case, I think that would be a good model to go for, because there are some problems with Christian nationalism, which I will get to as I review an article I found on Christianity Today. Now, there's about 3 or maybe 4 articles on the Christianity Today website. They pretty much say the same thing. They're written by 4 different people. And I don't have the guy who wrote this one, but I think this is the best well-rounded one, because he brings out all the points and the pros and the cons as well. And he also mentions that it's a movement that's connected to January 6th, because, as you can imagine, could get people's hackles up. It should get everybody's hackles up, because that was a stupid day in history. But he asks the question and answers the question as we go. How does Christianity, can we talk? Does Christianity relate to nationalism and patriotism? Because there's 3 different things. The article points out that patriotism is the love of country. It's a good thing. We should love our country. We should support our country. Nationalism is a concept of how we define our country, which can be problematic. It's not the same thing as patriotism, national, you know, patriotism, national pride, and so forth. Nationalism is about people groups. I'll get to that in just a moment. Christians, of course, are followers of Christ. Christians should love their country and seek to improve it. But bottom line is Christians are followers and consider Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And anything we do, that should be our priority in what motivates us to do what we do and love what we love and hate what we hate. And there's nothing wrong with hate because you can't have that. It is possible. But nationalism, back to that, is defined by cultural identity, and each culture should have some kind of identity. But once you identify what that culture is, that's what identifies your sovereign nationality. The problem is that social and cultural groups are not easily defined. They're complicated. They overlap. You have to define what is and what is not a nation. If you can define that you are French because you live in a certain region in the European continent and you have certain boundaries along the north, south, east, and west, and people within that area speak the same language, they have the same heritage, they have the same history, you could define that nation as French nationality and German nationality and all like that. And each of those individual nationality groups are a sovereign group. Well, the problem, of course, in the United States is that it used to be considered a big melting pot where diverse people could come and meld into one. But now the concept is, no, we got to pick it all apart. We got to disassemble the melting pot. And how can you say America is one nation because we come from so many nationalities, ethnic groups, where all over the world comes here? And that thought is what is the problem, is what tears things apart. The idea should be is, yes, indeed, we are a diverse group that live here, but we all live here so that we can identify under the nation that we call the USA. And so let me just speak for a second. We have a particular motto called E Pluribus Unum. It's on our money. E Pluribus means out of many. Unum, one. Now, some people say diversity is our strength. It's all about how diverse we are, how, dark skin, light skin, Eastern, Western, whatever religious groups. Diversity, that's our strength. It's not. Our strength is unity. You can have a bunch of all black guys in a military unit, and they can get together and fight a battle and win it. You can have a bunch of white guys in a unit, and you can get together and have a battle and win it. You can have a bunch of guys from northern states and the southern states get together and have a battle like they did in the Civil War, and the one side will win it because they're unified. Now, the reason people misguidedly say diversity as our strength is, you have a real strength in unity. You have a real strength with a mission and a purpose when people from different backgrounds can come together to assemble in a unified way. If your diverse mess comes together and all you have is chaos, that's not strength, that's chaos. But if your diversified people from all around the globe can come together and they can get behind the banner of, say, the national flag and the national purpose, and you can get out on the parade ground and march and drill and everyone's all on the same step, you're achieving your unified mission. That shows the real strength. So throw diversity out the window. Now, diversity is important. Diversity gives you flavor. It gives you depth of character. Diversity is great. Whenever I was in the military, we had a diverse group of people. Poor kids, rich kids, light kids, dark kids, city kids, country kids. We had the foreign kids, Native American kids, meaning Indians, Native American kids, meaning people like me who were born here and have been here for a couple hundred years in our Heinz 57 heritage. But we can all come together because we're all Americans and we're all in the same American military. Not only that, in the same military unit, doing the same military job, MOS. And it's that bond of unity is your strength. It's not the diversity. So when you hear people say diversity is a strength, they don't know what they're talking about. They're telling you a lie. Maybe they don't understand it's a lie. Maybe they're just spouting off what they've heard, a little soundbite. But it's a lie. Don't believe it. That is not true. Getting back to national identity, when you do this, the concern is that minorities and marginalized people need to be taken into consideration. Now, this article in Christianity Today goes on to say that it is the belief that the American nation is defined by Christianity and that the government should take active steps to keep it that way. Even the Wikipedia article said as much. Popularly, Christian nationalists assert that America is and must remain a Christian nation. Now, first of all, was the USA founded as a Christian nation? Well, technically, no, but practically, yes. If you read the Constitution, it doesn't say God, but it does say, nature's God. It does refer to the Creator several times. And so it is in there that we get our civil rights from a higher power. So the reference to God is in there. But what it really comes from is the worldview. Now, not all the people who wrote the Constitution and signed the signed the Declaration of Independence were Christians. Some were not Christians. Some were, what would they call it? Where they had a belief in God, but they didn't have a doctrinal belief in God. People like George Washington, atheist, that's what the word is. They believe they're in God, but they didn't follow into a certain church. But something like 9 out of the 13 colonies were founded by churches. I forget how the breakdown is, but the Presbyterians founded a couple of states, and the Dutch Reformed, I think, founded New York, and Connecticut and Vermont was founded by I forget who, and Pennsylvania was founded by the Quakers, and the
Please stand by.
Did you know that Striving Fraternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible Interpretation Made Easy, Creation Science, Evangelism, Presuppositional Apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi. I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the Christian Podcast Community.org.
All right, I had a slight snafu there. If anyone's saying the Congregationalists founded some other states, and the list goes on. Again, I forget how the breakdown is on that. Yes, there was a distinct Christian worldview that flavored every part of our nation constituting and declaring independence. So in that aspect, yes, indeed, America was a Christian nation. But through that same logic, it was a Christian nation because its social, cultural atmosphere, not directly tied to its political, governmental atmosphere. So this is why I say it was a Christian nation, but it wasn't constituted specifically as such. So should it be maintained that way? You know, that's a concept right there. Should it be maintained in that way? So you would be saying that we're maintaining it so that the government is not Christian per se. We don't have a Pope of the nation, but our social political climate, now, yes, you're right, that should remain Christian. But guess who's responsible for that? It's not the government. It's the church. And what has the church been doing about that? Dun, dun, dun. Have I stepped on any toes? Because it's the church who should be developing the kingdom of Christ. It's not the government's responsibility to do that. So if there's going to be any retaining of that, it needs to be through outside social groups, non-government agencies, churches, groups like Turning Point USA, who it's a conservative activist group, but they are heavily based with Christian morality and principles. And everyone that I know of who is involved with that does indeed have Christian beliefs. But I don't know all that many people who are involved with it, and I'll put it that way. This article goes on to say that the dangers to society is that Christian nationalism tends to treat other Americans, those who are outside of the Christian nationalist belief, as second-class citizens. And the fear with that is that certain religious liberties would not be extended to non-Christians. Certain civil liberties would not be extended to those outside the Christian moral ethic. Since it is a movement that's largely backed by white religious Protestants, it carries some racial overtones, some racial baggage, some fears that they're going to be racist, basically. Now, the thing is, there's no evidence of that. It's a fear that that's going to happen. There's no evidence that there's going to be civil or religious liberty issues. It's a fear that could happen. Now, is it a real fear that should be concerned? Oh, yes, because if you get somebody with Christian nationalism and they're pulling the levers of nationalism and they drive the car all the way to one side, you are limiting yourself to those who are only Christian and those who support the nation, and all the rest of the 90% of the people are, well, left in the dark. Well, you have this elite, this deciding. And then we're back where we are now, where we just have a few elite who are deciding the course of our government. Or you can throw the nationalism bar all the way the other way, and you're just willy-nilly accepting non-Christian ethics into your laws, and then we're still back where we are now, because we're letting perverse and demented people like those who want to groom our kids have their say and make their laws and say, we're going to groom your kids. And it also shoehorns the label of Christ onto that. And it tries to say Christ approves of that. If you love Jesus, you'll let your gay teacher groom your kids. So if you ride that nationalism boat too far left or right, there is some real fears there. And let me move on. The dangers to Christianity. I kind of talked about that just a little bit. The movement takes the name of Christ and claims that Christ approves of this political agenda, and it makes Jesus the cheerleader of government and not government, the supporter of Christ. And so, you know, if you run that bar all the way, like I said, to the left, you got the one issue with social problems, you run all the way right, and now you have conflict that makes the church look bad. I mean, Jesus is Jesus, God is God. You're not going to hurt or slander them. They will judge correctly. But if the church gets involved with this and allows that to happen, should we be Christian nationalists? If you're going to be a nationalist, I think we need Christians need to be a part of that to moderate and regulate so that those extremes don't go reached. Because one thing Christian nationalists believe is that Christianity, moral and ethics, is the lens where all social issues are best weighed. So if you are a disabled person, the Christian ethic is the best way to give you the support you need to live your life. If you find yourself an unwed mother, the Christian ethic says abortion is not the answer, but we will help you and support you and your child, not only now, but through your pregnancy and through the months to come after that. If you don't believe me, go check out crisis pregnancy centers and look what they do. That's exactly what they do. People say that they don't, but they do. They do a lot more, and they do it without government funding. They don't have the deep pockets that the abortionists grab from the government. But those are some problems with it, and of course those problems I just described are some of the big issues that the screaming, raging leftist progressive crowd like to say it's an evil thing, we can't let it happen. Well, that's why they say this an evil thing. Should Christians be involved in politics? Well, yes, because we're citizens of this country too, and we have a right to see what our country does and the direction it goes. We should. We have every right to participate. But we have to remember who we serve, and that's Jesus Christ. We serve Christ, not the country, if there's going to be an issue with that. And if we're going to be involved with Christian nationalism, we need to make sure that Christ is the driving motive to keep things balanced and moderated. It's not so much the nationalism, although the nationalism means that we're trying to apply this ethic broadly across all the spectrum of unsaved people. And I just read a statistic just this last couple of days because I was curious. Demographics of Christianity in the United States. I remember about 20 years ago, it was something like 87%. Down from somewhere in the 90 percentile. But out of that, something like less than half were what you would call Bible believing or have Christians with a Bible understanding. Well, recently, like I think it was in 2021, there was a poll asked the same questions, and it's down to about 70% people who say they're Christian. And about 10 or maybe only 6%, or maybe it's 20 or 30, kind of depends on how the poll questions are asked, of people who say that they are Bible-believing Christians. You know, by that I mean Christians who have a biblical understanding of that. So you can see again how some of the leftist and the saved out there are like, oh, you want to have as little as 10 or 6 or 10% of people tell us all what to do. And I'm thinking, you know, you're trying to say the LGBT mafia is going to tell us all what to do. And guess how many percentage they have? Less than 10%. And so we should all bow down to them because they're telling us what to do. But you're not going to allow Christian ethics to tell people what to do. But I get that. Another problem I have with that, to wrap things up here, is you end up with a lot of nominal Christians. There's people say, yeah, I identify as Christian, but But because I live in a Christian nation, ta-da, I'm a Christian. Well, living in a Christian nation doesn't make you a Christian. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. There's a lot of people who, in that 70%, who say they're Christian, but they believe in things like karma and Buddhism and other grab bag of religious things. So they may carry that label, but they don't have the biblical belief. And so I think one danger that wasn't mentioned by any articles is that wouldn't have an uncontrolled rampant of people saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, when they're not. They're only doing it for a political expediency. And I would rather have people believe because they believe, not because they say who they are, who they're identifying as. But that's another danger of that. And we already have a problem with that as it is. I think, honestly, if you want to have a Christian nationalism, air quotes, the best thing that we can do as Christians is to get out there and witness to people and try to open the door to win as many people for Christ to understand the ethic as possible. Because the more the church does that, the more as we Christians do that individually, then the better this will blend. If you don't do that and try to cram it through with the government, then you may have best people saying they're Christians, but they're going to be resentful about it. They're not really going to be Christians. So that's what I have on that.
You are listening to the Patriot Pastors Podcast, where we talk about today's issues from a pastor's perspective, as well as calling America back to the faith of our fathers.
Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. We ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of it soon.
Here's your host, Wade Lentz and Harold Smith.
Thank you for joining us on the Patriot Pastor Podcast today. I'm your co-host, Harold Smith. We have a real treat today.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. I am your squirrel, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture. Please remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Do everything you do for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.
So, hey, well, let me go ahead and wrap this up real quick. I just wanted to once again say thanks for having the Christian podcast community allow us to be part of their network of all the great shows there. And don't have a lot more left to say. So this will be your host, Keith, wrapping it up, signing off, saying thanks for listening. And coming up here as our music is playing, will be Anthony Russo to tell you all about how to find us on the interwebs. Please do contact us, leave us a message, a rating and review. Follow us on Twitter and all those good things. We would love to hear from you, get some feedback, let us know what you think, what you want to hear us talk about next. If you have a burning question, ask away, because we'll give it our best shot.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.